Good to have you this morning. Want to make a couple of real quick announcements before we begin our study. One from Freed Hardeman University, they are in search of three professors to teach in their business department. And they are looking for individuals who have degrees in business, who have work experience in business, and who are faithful members of the Church of Christ. So if you would have any interest in that or know someone who would, if you'd let me know, I will be happy to share the information that was sent from Freed Hardeman. Secondly, if you are in the age bracket that is currently able to get the vaccine and you're having a problem being able to get it, or be able to schedule a time, Mary and Ed Babin came across something that you might be interested in looking into, and that is going to a health department in a county outside of Shelby or Jefferson, and for instance, Cullman or Bibb County. And if you would be interested in taking the virus vaccination, then you might want to look into that. And if you need some help with it, let me know. Our pursuit, what is it? There is an article that I received. I don't know why, but I'm glad I'm receiving it. It's an article that puts out a little bit of a message, and I think I'm getting it about once a week. And I enjoy getting them, and I enjoy reading them. And they have a lot of different things to say that I find very thought-worthy. And this article comes from a thing called Grace Marriage. And the particular article that I'm talking about is one written by Brian Bolton. And it was just last week, I believe it was, or the week before when this came out. And he raises the question in the article, who are you chasing in your marriage? And I found that question appealing, and I enjoyed the answer that he gave, and he does this. Do you remember the time when you were chasing your spouse? Do you remember what that was like? Do you remember how many phone calls you made? How many notes you wrote? How many times you stopped doing what you wanted to do and did what they wanted to do because you were chasing your future spouse? The one that you wanted to become your spouse. Do you remember how all of that went? And that's helping us to get an understanding of what it means to chase, what it means to pursue someone. And all of us who are married and who've wanted to be married, if we've had girlfriends or boyfriends and wanted to have them, have done that. And you remember what that was like. Do you remember when you stopped doing that and you started chasing yourself? The whole joke used to be, there's no sense chasing a bus once you've caught it. And so once you've caught the bus, you don't need to chase it anymore. And so what happens then is that we discover that instead of chasing our spouse, we have maybe a pretty legitimate reason to chase after ourselves. Because we've arrived. We no longer need to chase the bus. And I'm in desperate need of some me time. I spend all of this time with the other, pursuing the other. I need to do some things that I enjoy. And I need to spend some time in getting some me time for myself so that I can enjoy the things that I enjoy. And that becomes, as he writes in the article, a low-hanging fruit. You know what that means. That means it's a fruit that's easy to grab hold of. It's a fruit that's easy to get to. And when you get it, it really tastes good, and it's easy to get, and you really enjoy it. And so we go into this stage of marriage where the complaints start coming because we're not chasing the other, but we seem to be pretty happy with us because we're chasing ourselves. So when a marriage finds itself in this situation, what does it do? Do we go back to chasing the other one? Do we continue to chase ourselves, or do we evenly split the time between the two? None of the above. What we need to do is to learn to seek God. As a couple, marriage is never going to be what it needs to be for both of us, possibly even for either one of us, if all I'm doing is seeking the other, or if all I'm doing is seeking myself. And what I need to do is to learn to seek not my other nor me, but for both of us to learn to seek God and to pursue Him, not the other person and not the other self. I have an example of this. This whole story reminded me of a very dear friend couple of mine that lived in Wisconsin. Daryl Mount will know them as well, but they were there and I noticed the lady. She was a Christian and her husband at the time was not. But he was a great guy. Everybody loved him and loved being around him and enjoyed him, and he enjoyed being around people. And he had a delightful wife as well. But we noticed that they got to missing a lot of services. As a matter of fact, there may be periods of time when they were only there once or twice a month and be gone the rest of the time. And we noticed that and tried to understand what was going on, and they would explain they were taking care of, they were doing family time, they were doing some camping and other things, enjoying things like that, and we let that go, let that pass. They take care of themselves and do the things they need to do while they were away. They don't have to necessarily be with our congregation. And then that changed. Then you noticed they started being there at every service, and it was very rare for them not to be there. And he was there as well. And I noticed this, other people noticed it, and the wife came up to me one day and said, I want to tell you what's going on. I want to explain to you what's happening. She said, I had a talk with my husband, and this is what I told him. I have always put you on a pedestal, and I have always thought of you first. And I have begun to realize that's not been a good thing. And I have allowed me putting you first to move me away from God and to being what I know God wants me to be. So I have made a decision that from this point forward, you are no longer going to be on the pedestal. You are no longer going to be the first thing of importance in my life. From this point forward, the number one thing in my life will be God, and you will be number two. Now, you need to understand, she said, talking to him, that you being number two to God is not a bad thing. But from this point on, you will be number two to God. It wasn't long until he himself became a Christian. And both, as far as I know, still remain very faithful to God. Who am I pursuing? This isn't just about marriage. It's about everything. Have you noticed that everything in the Bible is about our pursuit, who we are pursuing, and what our life is all about? Go back with me and look at this very first psalm. The very first psalm, and you wonder sometimes, why did God put this one first? Why is this the very first psalm? And I want you to read it with me again, and I want you to notice the pursuit in it. Who is God saying we need to pursue? And who is the person being written about in this psalm? Who are they pursuing? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. We could go through the whole Bible, finding verse after verse after verse that points us in this same direction. I want us to look at statements made by two individuals that will help us to see how important this pursuit is, and for me to understand what exactly is it that I'm pursuing. Let's go, first of all, to what Jesus says in John chapter 4 and verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. What are you pursuing, Jesus? The will of God. What God wants. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And then he says this in John 6, verse 57. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, my whole life is pursuing the Father. My whole life is about doing the Father's will. And then he says this to those listening, to us. So, the one who feeds on me will live because of me. What am I pursuing? What am I really after? What do I really want? And what God wants us to have is pursuing him. You remember this story, Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, the rich young ruler. A man came running to Jesus, a young man who happened to be very wealthy. He came running to Jesus with one question: what must I do to have eternal life? Well, what do the commandments say? I've done all of those from my youth. Jesus looked on him and loved him. And he said, you lack one thing. Go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. I guess the fear that came over him would be the fear that would come over all of us. If I lose everything, what will happen to my comfort? If I lose everything, what will happen to my security? If I lose everything, what will happen to me? And yet, here's Jesus saying, don't pursue your things. Don't pursue the things that your finances bring you. Pursue me. Come follow me. And the man went away with great sorrow because he had a lot of riches. And the amazing thing, when Jesus says, come follow me, and gives this invitation, he doesn't demand it. He doesn't chase after. He allows the man to make his decision. And he says to his apostles, how hard it is for one who has great possessions to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I'm telling you again, how hard it is when somebody who has so many pursuits in life to focus on pursuing the one thing that is absolutely necessary. And that is to pursue Jesus. Paul writes it this way. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, a passage we're all very familiar with. Paul will write this to the church at Galatia, talking about himself and talking about the life that he lives. And in one verse, he sums it up in chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Does Paul come very close to doing what that rich young ruler would not do? Well, he does. When we understand all that he was pursuing, when we understand all the goals for life that he did have, and he describes it for us in the book of Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 7, and I read down through verse 10, and he talks about that change in the pursuit of his life. And he writes it this way, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I got rid of it all. I sold it all. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have one pursuit, and it's Jesus. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not only is it how to solve your problems in marriage, pursue God, both of you. It's also how we take care of the problems that we have in life and we face the issues that we face in life. Pursue God. It's what he wants. It's what he tells us. What he constantly reminds us of. He's the answer for everything we have to deal with. There may be some here this morning who are ready to become a Christian, ready to be baptized into Christ, put him on and begin this walk with him. There may be some who need to come home to Christ. If you, again, would like to have a private conversation or have a prayer with one of our elders, they will be in their conference room after we are dismissed from here. But if you need to respond to our invitation, to the Lord's invitation this morning, we want to offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.